with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given to us, your servants, grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of your divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith and worship, and bring us at last to see you in your one and eternal glory, O Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit live and reign one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, here am I, send me." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of the Lord.
Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now there was a Pharisee called Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
It is an imposing scene, this vision from Isaiah, which dates from around 740 years before Jesus. It's an imposing scene. And Isaiah is in the temple and he has this vision. And in the vision, he's in the Holy of Holies, the most sacred part of the temple, the part where only the high priest goes once a year. A part of the temple so holy that they tie a rope to the high priest's ankle so that when he goes in on the Day of Atonement to do his service, should he collapse of a stroke or a heart attack, they can drag him out by the rope because no one else will go in there. It's an impressive and scary place. And it is in this, the vision is of Isaiah in this room, startling enough for him, I'm sure. And then to see God on the heavenly throne, the text says the hem of his robe filled the temple, the idea being that God's feet are in the temple, perhaps on the Ark of the Covenant like an ottoman, and God's throne is on high. And Isaiah sees this image, and he sees the seraphim flying about, veiling themselves and singing holy, 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 and the scent of the incense and the smoke fills the room, and even the ground shakes at the awesome song and the import of this vision. So naturally, Isaiah fearfully admits to his smallness, his lowliness, his impurity and incompleteness, his sinfulness. Not only at being in the most holy space in a less than clean fashion, but also seeing God, who people at that time were not supposed to see. And it's very interesting because the angels make it possible for him to be there by cleansing him of his sin and his impurity. And then immediately, what this awesome figure does is speak. And in this vision, right, this is a very, very formal, very powerful vision. This is not, you know, a God you go up to and say, "Hey, big guy, how's it going?" Right? This is very formal and imposing. And yet, in the midst of this image of this formal and imposing God on high, all-powerful, the very first thing that God says, the very first thing is, "Whom shall I send?" And that's important. That is important. This God, this powerful God, wants to send a message, wants to send a word, wants to communicate, wants to be in relationship with His creation, with the people. And that's crucial. That is crucial. And it's countercultural as well. Most of the time in that era, in the centuries before the Common Era, people did not have personal relationships with the gods. They cast omens to get a sense of where the gods were at and what they were thinking, but only very, very special people had a relationship with the gods. The gods didn't care to speak to the masses. But this God does. This God wants to send a word. This God wants a messenger to carry a word. This God wants to speak. The angels may be flying around God and covering their faces in respect, but the direction of this image is outward. The direction of all the movement in this image, this vision that Isaiah has, is outward. It's his commissioning as a prophet. And he's being sent out to speak. And that is one of the characteristics of God. That all of God's interest and all of God's energy and all of God's love and all of God's message goes out. It goes out to us. To us. It's important to recognize that. And in fact, the entire Hebrew Bible is always caught in this tension between the awesomeness of God and God's personal interest in relationship with people. That is always a tension that is there. And so God establishes relationships, and then God gets jealous and upset, and then God, you know, sends a judgment, and like the second after God sends the judgment, God says, "Oh no, I'll restore you because I love you." It happens over and over and over again. Sometimes you have to plow through the prophets to realize what's going on. It's a lot of work. But over and over again, there is that tension between God's awesomeness, sovereignty, and God's desire to be in a relationship. Whom shall I send? I have a word to send. And the first word, just like the standard pattern, the first word is a judgment, and it's followed up immediately by, "But I'm going to restore you because I love you, and it's not going to be Continually, this happens over and over and over again. So when our ancestors encountered Jesus, and after he died and rose and ascended, as they thought about their experience of Jesus, their first thought was, he brought us a word from God. But almost immediately, their thought was more than that. They realized that he was God. That God had gone so far down this ancient track of wanting to reach out to us, that God came to us God's very own self. God's creative word, that word that made the universe, that word that God gave to Isaiah and all the prophets, that word came to us as a human being. And so one of the things that happens is the realization, gee, this is just like Isaiah. Isaiah saw God in the temple in his vision. And the text, the biblical text says, you're not supposed to see God and live. But Isaiah saw God and lived and got commissioned and sent on his way. And guess what? In Jesus, we saw God. He showed us what God is like. And some of it is new and startling, and some of it we recognize, like this desire to reach out to us. We recognize that. We know that. And so the realization began to dawn on our ancestors, especially over the first 400 or 500 years of the life of the church. The more they thought about it, the more they reflected on that experience, the more they realized that Jesus and God were one. It's the point around 110 that the author of John's Gospel was trying to make. Trying to help us see. And so what happens is then, as the Christian community continues to grow and develop, they reach that point around 100 years or so, 70 to 100 years after Jesus has ascended, when people who actually saw him personally have started to die. And as I've told you before, that was a crisis for the Christian community. What does that mean? What will happen? What about the people who didn't see Jesus and therefore didn't necessarily see God? And they discovered that people were still encountering the power and the love, the redemption in Jesus' message shared through his community. They began to realize it was the Spirit about which he talked. That the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in a very real way, in their experience, was that desire to reach out that God demonstrated all those centuries ago. That desire to reach out to us, that desire to love and reach out to us, which they realized was the same love that had the Father eternally begetting the Son. That reaching out love was God in their lives as individuals and as the Christian community. And it wasn't just some abstract force. It wasn't just an emotion. It was more than that. It was God, again, like God has always wanted to be, personally involved in them. God, the Holy Spirit. And so what happened is, as our ancestors attempted to reflect and wrestle and discover what they were experiencing, the power, the love, the impact of all that Jesus said and did in their lives, which was continuing beyond anything anyone ever expected, they began to realize that that was all God. And the doctrine of the Trinity emerges because of that. It's all God. It's all person. It's all relational. It's all love. And it goes all the way back through time to all of God's desires to reach out to us. Because that's what it means to call God a person. When we call God a person, we're not saying that God has a body like we do with arms and legs and all of that. We use body metaphors all the time for God, but it's not really that God has a body or a gender or anything else. It's that God, personhood means relationality. It's that God has that kind of relational nature that we call personhood. That God is indeed the author of that relational nature that we call personhood. And in fact, our ancestors in the 4th century, Gregory and Basil and the other Gregory and their sister Macrina, we call them the Cappadocians because that's where the boys all had dioceses because they were all bishops. The Cappadocians understood and began a trajectory of thought in the 4th century that led to humanism, that led to psychology, that led to our concept of person. It goes all the way back to the realization of the Trinity and the relational nature of a God who continually reaches out to God's creation. That's what we celebrate today. We remember this doctrine of the Trinity and we wrestle with its difficult language and its crazy concepts, and the church throughout history made up lots of technical terms to try to explain it all. I still remember sitting in seminary feeling completely lost as we learned about homoousios and homoousiane and all of these other words, you know, and prosopon and all these other funky words that in many ways were made up to articulate this reality of a God who reaches out. A God who reaches out as one God and three persons. The most important thing that we can say to the world around us is also the most ancient thing. God is reaching out in love.
As you are able, please stand and face east.
the direction of sunrise and a symbol of the resurrection as we recite the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven
and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no
end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Peace we pray to you, Lord God.
For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone.
We pray for Donald, our president, and for the legislative and judicial branches of our government. We pray for Stephen, Courtney, James, Joe, Nathan, and Sarah, who serve in our armed forces, and for all people everywhere.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
We pray for the improvement of our societies, our natural environment, and our hearts.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, and justice and oppression.
We pray for those who are addicted and those in recovery. We pray for the sick, especially Mike, Elizabeth, Michael, Bob, James, Stephen, Carolyn, Ken, Ruthie, Linda, George, Hope, Harland, Jennifer, Charlotte, Dan, Christine, Margaret, Marilyn, Ron, and Don. We pray for the victims of natural disaster.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
We pray for the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel, and all who seek the truth.
For Michael, our presiding bishop, and Wayne, our bishop. For Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, and Michael and Deacon's formation, for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God and his church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation, praying especially for Kalamazoo, Portage, and the surrounding communities, for the vibrancy of our witness to Christ's love, and for the courage and capacity to serve in Christ's name.
Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life, for those who are celebrating birthdays, Angela, Elaine, Michael, Jeffrey, Jean, Ian, Art, for those who are celebrating wedding anniversaries, Diana and Mark, Kathy and Adam, for those who are celebrating baptismal anniversaries, Ruth, Samuel, Jack, and Elizabeth.
We exalt you, O God our King,
and praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom, remembering especially Dan, Vincent, and Albert.
Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
And put their trust in you.
Loving Jesus, protect and sustain us with your hand. Open the door of your love that, sealed with your wisdom, we may be free to serve you with joy.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God, our neighbors, and ourselves. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved you with our souls. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us.
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in everlasting life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. Offer to God a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge the divine name. But do not forget to do good and to share what you have, for such offerings are pleasing to God.
I'm not afraid.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For with your co-eternal Son and Holy Spirit, you are one God, one Lord, in Trinity of persons, and in unity of being, and we celebrate the one and equal glory of you, O Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Honor and praise to you, holy and living God, to deliver us from the power of sin and death, and to reveal the riches of your grace, you looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw all the world to himself, yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and to be glorified by you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer you our gifts of bread and wine, and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your Spirit over the whole earth and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with the prophet Isaiah and all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, In the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Sarah and David, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in this holy communion. We who are many are one body, because we all share in one bread and one cup.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Thank you for being here today. Want to encourage you to join us outside on the lawn for our program year-end picnic. There's plenty of food and drink. There's a bounce house for the kids. By the back door, there is a basket full of socks of different sizes. If your little ones didn't wear socks today, you have to wear socks in the bounce house. So there are plenty of socks there. You can grab a pair so that anybody that wants can go in the bounce house. The people keeping an eye on the bounce house will cycle through. Everybody will get a turn, and they'll call so control, so there's not really big people and really little people all in at the same time. But do please enjoy the bounce house, as well as all the good food and fellowship that we're going to have. Go ahead, Renee.
Good morning. I first want to thank all of the children and youth of the parish for a moving and powerful program here. It has been a privilege to witness and be a part of. And I want to thank everyone who volunteered some series of Sundays to come upstairs and just be present with us or to lead particular fields of study. But I'd love to ask Amy Hansen and Fritz McDonald, Tomio Anderson, and Amy Vleek, though I'm not sure she's here, if you could just come forward to the right. I think three of those people are here, right? I think. Amy was. Oh, good. Yay. Good. And Fritz and Tomio, if you could come out. So each of these folks took a year-long, incredibly thoughtful, active role in the children's formation, and what they did wasn't stuff that you all witnessed and saw, but it's stuff that made a really big impact on our kids and their development and their growth. And we journeyed together with these folks who very generously gave of their time and their energy, so we wanted to offer them some words now.
Indeed. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the many children in our parish family. We thank you for the opportunity to teach and nourish them, to help them develop their spirits for praise and worship, for ministry, for action, for learning. We thank you for Tomio and Fritz and Amy, who took a special role in helping our children to develop strong, healthy spirits in Christ. We ask that you would bless them, give them a great and gracious rest and plenty of fun over the summertime, and grant that they may return to us in the fall with new and exciting ideas. We also pray your blessing on all the children and youth of our parish, that they will have a wonderful and refreshing summer as well. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.
This year, Audrey Barnhart has been a senior at Kalamazoo Central, and so she is graduating in a couple of weeks and will be leaving us for Michigan State University in the fall.
Yes. And so we want to give you a thank you certificate. This certificate entitles you to an icon, which we ordered and then got delayed in shipping. So it's not here yet. But because you are a woman who shows great leadership potential, we got you an icon of St. Hilda, Abbess of Whitby, who ran a house full of women and a house full of men in Whitby in England as their abbess and led them through difficult and tough times because she had great leadership skills. And we see leadership skills in you too, right? Choir, stand up. You all have done a wonderful job over the last year. You have worked very hard. You have spent long hours. You have brought us beautiful music that has lifted our souls, empowered our spirits, and strengthened and beautified our worship. So I'm grateful, deeply grateful to you for all of that. And I know Carrie is as well. Very proud that she has every reason to be really proud of you. And we all are really proud of you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the many rich opportunities that you give us to praise you and to sing your praises. And we thank you for the rich relationship that you have with us, whereby our spirits are fed and lifted and empowered by the very act of praising you. We thank you for our choir members who have worked so hard and sung so beautifully to inspire our worship, to lift our spirits, to strengthen our faith. We pray that you will give them a wonderful summer of rest and recreation, that they will enjoy their time off and come back to us in the fall, ready to inspire us all over again, because they do inspire us every time they sing. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.